This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hey, welcome back to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And thank you all for coming back and tuning in with us again. It's been a nice quiet break where we got to regroup and put together a nice roster of people for our upcoming episodes. But how was your little vacation or hiatus, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, no, I've been busy. And as I think you can attest that from last March, if we thought that we would be busy, I was looking at with the COVID coming in, I was looking at no business for maybe ever, but it's been really busy, and I've been enjoying myself, and Thanksgiving was just around the corner and had a great time. So what about you? How's your family? What's going on?
Yeah, same thing. It's, you know, it's my big project I was working on this summer, fall is finally done. So starting to get used to being back home again. And now I'm just editing all day. I'll probably be editing through January or February, trying to get all these images, these 39 final stores that I shot out, but it's going well.
That was the Rolex stores, right?
Yep. It was exciting stuff, but it's good to be over with and done with. But I
can't wait to see some of your work, though. I don't think I've really seen anything remotely finished.
I can't post them publicly, but I'll shoot you a text with a couple.
And that's a good segue into our podcast today. What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about commercial real estate photography, a very overlooked topic in this industry.
Wow. I guess I'll be your interviewer.
Yeah, by all means. I know you don't shoot much commercial real estate photography. But for me, that's, I would say, the bulk of my real estate photography work now. I would say 85% of it is commercial real estate photography. So I'm definitely excited to share the knowledge and hopefully convince people out there to go and pick up some commercial real estate clients, because there's a lot more money in it and it's a lot easier.
Great. Well, listen, before we get started with the interview, I'd just like to say thanks to our friends over at HD Photo Hub for sponsoring this episode. HD Photo Hub is a real estate photographer's business platform for payment collection, online ordering, scheduling, photo delivery, property websites, and so much more. With a ton of new features, if you haven't checked them out lately, be sure to go to hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com.
Okay. Awesome stuff. Yeah, I'm glad to have HD Photo Hub back with us again this year. And they moved to the front spot as far as sponsorship. Herb's a great guy. And everybody go, if you need some property websites or galleries or download centers, whatever you need, go check out HD Photo Hub. Good stuff.
You know, I feel that they're consistent and reliable. And, you know, that is so, so important.
Especially. Well, you know, Herb's been in the industry for what? 20, 30 years, something like that. So he knows what he's doing. But anyway, let's get right into it, because I know we're a little pressed for time. We have our very rare daytime recording going on right now. Yeah, I got the sun coming in right in my eyes from my window right here.
Looks good.
But speaking of commercial real estate, the first thing I want to start off with is a discrepancy I've heard from a few people over the last few weeks about what exactly commercial real estate photography is, because a lot of people apparently under the impression that when you talk about, you know, commercial real estate photography, they are confusing that with commercial photography. And commercial photography, which I would consider working for an architect or a designer or a retail store, that's more along the lines of commercial photography. But I think commercial real estate photography is a little bit different, because you are working for real estate agents, albeit they're commercial agents and they're either renting or leasing or selling commercial properties, but they're still selling properties. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Camera just flew up.
Yeah.
There we go.
But, you know, it is different. And I do a bit of that. But just wanted to ask, you know, what is the feeling when you're working with an agent that's doing a commercial property? What do you find different than working with a house and doing it with a real estate photographer, traditional?
They're a pleasure to work with. And I'm not saying that to knock the residential real estate agents, but
they don't deal with the minutia. I think they've got too much to think about.
Well, I think there's a very major difference in the residential real estate photography industry, or in the residential real estate for that matter. Your agents are dealing with homeowners, and their customers are homeowners. And when you're dealing with homeowners, you're getting
emotion.
That's the biggest thing, is emotion and sentimentality.
Yes.
You're also dealing with such a wide variety of personality traits and characters. And, you know, you can go into one home and the homeowners are the most delightful people in the world. And then you can go into the next home 2 hours later and you're dealing with chaotic homeowners. When you're dealing with commercial real estate agents, their clients are typically other businesses. So this is looked more as a business transaction versus I'm selling my home. So there's a lot less, like you said, emotion attached to it. And it's just another business transaction. If, you know, a company comes in and they have to lease new space for their office, pandemic aside, because things are a little upside down right now. But, you know, in a normal situation, you know, they're calling an agent, they're saying, hey, I have 40 employees, 50 employees, I need a 30,000 square foot space, whatever area, in my case, Midtown Manhattan, whatever the case is, what kind of spaces do you have? And, you know, they'll go out and it's a business transaction. It's you know, a tenant who, a landlord who has an open space trying to lease it out to a tenant. You know, it's not, and typically in the work that I do, it's more, you know, landlord tenant and leases versus, selling actual commercial buildings, because, I mean, I don't know too much about it, but I don't think the turnover on commercial building sales is too much in Manhattan because the prices are just astronomical. But, I think it's they're a pleasure to work with because they look at it, they look at me as part of their business transaction versus just a service provider that is being brought in to help them make a sale and make the homeowner happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Overall, yeah, I have no trouble with my agents. My agents are some of the most, my commercial agents, that is, some of the most understanding people out there. And I will say this. We've all had issues with residential agents here or there, not necessarily even the agents, but the homeowners who don't like this or don't like that or don't like this. I never have any of that stuff with commercial real estate. You know, if there's a problem ever, we always talk it out. You know, they understand. They understand it's a business transaction. Have I had to reshoot stuff? Yeah, we've all had to do that. But nevertheless, there's just a different level of understanding and I don't know what the word is. Understanding and, I guess, empathy, maybe?
Expectations.
Expectations, but empathy for the work that I'm doing, yeah, in terms of just not being a service provider and being somebody, mm-hmm, who they're bringing in to help them fulfill their business transaction.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you first. I mean, the first step is getting the job. Are you contacted by the agent, by the company? Are you reaching out, cold calling? Generally, and because I know a lot of people out there would like to know, wanted to get into this.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The way I got started in commercial real estate was sort of by accident. Well, not sort of, it was completely by accident. And it's funny because, you know, I used to shoot weddings. I've said that many times years ago, back in my other life. And I got hired probably about 7 or 8 years ago, when I was still doing weddings and events and stuff like that. I got hired to shoot a 21st birthday party at a bar in New York City for this kid that was turning 21. They rented out a whole bar. So, you know, apparently they were more of a, you know, a little better off family. They were pretty wealthy and they were throwing a party for this 21-year-old kid and all his friends. So I went out, I shot, the party went till 4 a.m. I literally was there till 4 a.m. And, you know, that even helped convince my psyche that I should not be doing events anymore. But nevertheless, I went out and delivered this project. They loved the work. It turns out that this kid who was turning 21, his grandfather started one of the biggest real estate development companies in Manhattan in the early 1900s. Came in, bought a couple of buildings, still has them today. You know, the building that Manhattan Mall is in Midtown Manhattan is their building, et cetera. So when this kid turned 21 or maybe even before, he started working for his family's company, who was a little bit older school at the time with the way they did everything. And he, this kid emailed me about, I don't know, 8 months later after his 21st birthday party and said, we've never done professional photography before. We're looking to start doing this on some of our empty spaces. Is something you can do. And this is coincidentally right about the time where I was thinking about getting into real estate photography from a residential standpoint. So I said, sure, why not? And I went in there, I shot it. And about 7 years later, we're still working together. So he's still one of my clients. And that's how it all started by accident. Now, as I said, since they are one of the bigger commercial real estate developers in Manhattan, what they usually do is they subcontract out agents to lease their spaces. So eventually they introduced me to their agent who was leasing the space, who I met, started talking with, started shooting for. And as it turned out, I found out a little bit later, he is the vice president of Newmark Knight Frank. Newmark Knight Frank is one of the biggest, they're a global company. I don't know if they have Newmark Knight Frank out by you, Rich, but they're one of the biggest commercial real estate companies out in the world for that matter. And this client that I got introduced to and started doing work for was the president of Tri-State Newmark Knight Frank. Tri-State meaning New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And then from there, the rest was history. He started introducing me to all his agents that have been under him. And I've been shooting photography for them for the last 6-7 years, something like that. And then as things progressed during the pandemic, I started doing virtual tours for them, and that took on a whole leg of its own in the commercial real estate industry. So it sort of happened by accident, but that doesn't mean there's not commercial real estate. You know, there's commercial spaces in every city, in every state in the country. So for that matter, now granted, I completely understand the fact that I live in New York City, and you know, a 30,000 square foot space in the Empire State Building is going to cost significantly more money than most other places. But that being said, every city has commercial office space or retail space that needs to be rented out.
Well, but things are going to be changing now.
Things are going to be changing. I mean, it's kind of a weird situation because I don't know, what's that saying they say, for every tragedy, someone gets a blessing. I mean, it's hard. I don't know what exactly how the saying goes, but it's something like that. And, you know, it's horrible that these companies are closing. These companies are trying to sublease spaces. These companies are starting to realize that their employees can work from home and they can still be as productive and efficient. So it's horrible from that perspective, from somebody who's offering a service to get these spaces rented, then, you know, great, I'm going to take advantage of the work while it's coming to me. So majority of the work that I've been doing since April or May are companies like that, you know, where beforehand I used to be shooting big white box spaces. White box means a big empty warehouse looking space, concrete floor, concrete pillars, nothing done. So a company can come in and kind of design and furnish it as they will. But now I've been shooting a lot more furnished spaces, you know, spaces where these companies are either unfortunately going out of business because of the pandemic. They're trying to sublease all or part of their space out because it's just too expensive, or they're just trying to get, or they're just telling their employees, like, you know, we're not coming back for the next year or two. Just continue working from home. Our numbers are still up. So
I've recently did a shoot for a company that rents out office space. So they go in there, they have the attendance there for you. You pay by the hour, conference rooms, various sizes. So that was really, I really enjoyed shooting this.
Oh, like a shared office space.
Shared office space.
Yeah, and I did that. I did that also.
But, you know, they rent it. They rent it when they need a conference table or a conference center. But other than that, they're virtual. They're out doing it at their house.
Yeah, it's kind of like a WeWork type of situation.
Yeah,
Right. Yeah. I shot a couple of those for one company that has a few of them here last year. And they're fun shoots because those places are always designed really nice. So you can really do some cool stuff with it. And you can always, you can use some models too, which is pretty fun because they, you know, these companies that want to use the
little motion blur.
Exactly. Use your pictures to, I stopped using a little bit of the motion blur. I don't know. It's kind of like.
My last shoot that way, they didn't want people. They didn't want to have motion blur.
Yeah, no, but I've found that the people I've recently been using in my images, I very rarely use motion blur. I kind of put them in, you know, in full focus, kind of a little bit more lifestyle, maybe, if you want to call it that. I don't know, maybe because the motion blur is overused and I'm kind of like over it already. Who knows?
But wouldn't you, just a word of advice out there for people, if you're just you're getting into this and you can't command what you're showing and what you're doing, you're just trying to fit in and find out where you stand with this company, do a motion blur and do a non-motion blur. And that way you've got it if they need it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Especially, I mean, look, if you're shooting a white box space and you throw a model in the middle of the floor, it kind of looks a little strange, but, you know, if you're shooting a conference room or you're shooting, you know, a kitchen or
exactly
entry in a commercial office space, then, you know, throw a model in there. Why not? Let them use a little bit of a lifestyle image for their marketing. And I'm sure your agents are going to love it.
Well, let me break in and ask you two questions I've got, and you pick which one you want to start with. Cause there's people out there all going to want to do, sure. You got to get your client, and that's no brainer, but it's so many ways to do it. And as you said, I think what you're relying on is word of mouth. And that's
a
really big thing. And being in the right place at the right time. You met the first guy that way. And it's just, you know, kismet, it's luck. So there's not one way that works for everybody. But there's two things I want to know. One is, when you are shooting this, how do you compare it to three things? How do you compare the to a home real estate shoot? Let's say a high-end home real estate shoot, a commercial shoot.
From a technique perspective in general?
Equipment and how much more time it takes and such, but also want to know pay-wise, you know, I mean, we got to probably approach money, which is also hard because it's different for everyone, but maybe speak about those two things.
Well, the pay is much better, significantly better. You know, I've said this publicly and I'm not ashamed to say it again. For some reason, residential real estate photography is like one of the lowest paying types of photography jobs you can do. And I don't know how that ever got this way. I guess maybe just race to the bottom, it got this way. But it's so low paying that it's really not that hard to make more money on any other genre of photography out there. Now, that being said, look, on a luxury residential real estate photography transaction where the agent's trying to sell $1 million or $2 million house, they're coming away with a nice chunk of change. So they do have a little bit more of a marketing budget, to the point where when I do those houses, you know, I am doing drone and photo and virtual tour. And, you know, I do have $1,000+ bill invoice to them. But commercial is a little bit different. Commercial, they're making significantly more money per transaction, these agents. Now, these agents, you know, a residential agent might sell 5, 6, 10 houses a year, 15 if they're, or 20 if they're volume, but it's not the same with commercial real estate. You know, they're getting maybe 2-3 leases a year sent out. And remember, they're getting a commission too, usually. They're making a commission, and they usually make a commission of the final lease price. So look, every agent's going to be a little bit different the way they or their brokerage works, for sure. But, you know, just for example, you know, let's say an agent is renting out, you know, and I'm going to use New York for an example, you know, a 30,000 square foot office space for $50,000 or $60,000 a month on a 5-year lease. You know, you're talking about a couple million dollars at the end of the day. The lifespan of that lease is going to be, I don't know what, between 3 and 5 million without doing the math. And then an agent's taking a percentage of that. So, you know, the agents are making a lot more money. Now, granted, they're not doing 15, 20 of these transactions a year. It's not easy to rent out 30,000 square feet of New York City prime real estate but they're making a lot of money, which usually means the marketing budgets are higher. Another major difference is with commercial, a lot of the brokerages set aside a marketing budget for each specific property or portfolio, a building ownership's portfolio. So, So when I'm going, it's not like I have to go out and try to convince the agent to spend money out of their pocket. There's always money. So I don't know if you hear my dog barking. She's going nuts upstairs. But
I love it. It's the new meetings, exactly. Zoom meetings.
Yeah. Well, we've always been from home though. The brokerage, you know, when a new agent comes in and says, hey, I got a new property, we have a couple floors we need to lease out, the brokerage then comes in and sets aside a certain amount of money to be used on marketing. So that money is already allotted for. The agent has to use that money up or it goes to waste. It's not like the agent's getting it. That's money that is being provided to the agent to use to market the property. So the agent wants to use as much of that budget, because it's not coming directly out of their pocket, as much of that budget as they can to help them market the property. So, you know, it's not uncommon for me, for my starting prices for photography to come in at about between 3 and 5 times that what I make on a residential listing.
Well, also, just touching base with the difference too is with MLS or real estate photography, it's a set time frame, and we're not licensing. Well, we're licensing the photos for that sale, but for commercial, this is going to be for ongoing. You're probably going to use the same images for a long time. So, you know,
it depends. I mean, look. When I shoot a floor in a building, that's going to be for the length of the listing as long as it's active. But usually I shoot building amenities also. If I shoot the lobby of the building, if I shoot a gym, if there's a gym in the building, stuff like that, those I typically license for them in perpetuity as long as they have the contract with the building to lease their space. So meaning if another floor becomes available next year, then I don't have to go out and shoot the lobby. Unless they obviously remodel, they already have the lobby shots. They have all the amenity shots. So those don't have to be redone. And I can just go in, shoot the one floor, the one office they have available, and they have everything else they need and we're good to go.
But you've really got to have, going into this, you've got to have some experience with what are you presenting to ask, what are you looking for me? What are you looking to me to provide you? What are your expectations? How are you going to use the photos? How big a, you know, all these things that need clarification, I find it's even more important for commercial real estate.
Yeah, I mean, from that approach, I don't think it should be any different than the way you approach a residential a residential real estate agent, as far as finding out what they're looking for, what they're expecting, what usage they want. I think commercial agents tend to know a little bit more about usage and licensing and stuff like that than residential, where if it's a newer agent, whoever, you might have to educate them, and educating is a big part of the process. But you know, look, in the commercial real estate game in New York City, there's a lot of young guys coming in who are in their low 20s that don't have much experience. And then you got to kind of educate them and say, hey, this is the rule. This is the law. And this is the way it's going to work. Mm-hmm. So you explain to them, you explain to the building management, because it's weird. You know, a lot of these real estate development companies own several buildings. So it's very rare to have a company that just owns one building in New York City. You know, so a lot of my clients own, when I say clients, I mean the actual building owners, they own several buildings. So they want to use a lot of the images, especially the amenity images, they want to use them in their websites for their portfolios and stuff like that. So you have to explain to them how it works and all that stuff.
And you ever reach out to the architect to try and do a licensing gig for things that are involved in the?
I haven't really. I mean, I should do that for the amenity images. I mean, a white box space, an architect's not going to really license that because it's just concrete walls. But I do have a nice collection of lobbies and stuff like that. I got to do it. Yeah, you're right. Maybe Adam Taylor will give me a nice swift kick in the ass and get me moving. But before we continue on, I'm just going to say a little message from our good friends at iGUIDE, who are back again. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography. To add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs free by adding code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And speaking of iGUIDE, I actually, in an hour and a half, I have a presentation with one of my biggest commercial real estate agents to show them iGUIDE, which I don't even own, but they wanted to see different, I do some Matterport for them and they wanted to explore different options. So I'm going to present them iGUIDE. And if they like it, then I might be an iGUIDE owner. Who knows?
I can't wait to hear all about it.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. That's good. Yeah, so that's everything in a gist from the business side of things. You know, another cool thing is that a lot of the times, or this is the case for me, I don't know how it is for other places, is on a lot of my shoots, my agents are able to defer the costs of marketing. And to be honest, I don't know how they do it. So I don't know the process, and I should speak to my agents and kind of get a little, do a little research and kind of find out the dynamics there. But a lot of my invoices get paid directly from the building owners and not the agents directly. So a lot of times my agents are somehow convincing these building owners, I'm going to lease out your space. This is what it's going to cost for me to market it for my photography, virtual tour, whatever standpoint. Are you okay with this? And most of the time I'll send an invoice off to my agent. They'll forward it right to the building manager or owner, and then I get paid from them. Unfortunately, usually 30 to 45 days later, which is
I've had 90 days. Yeah.
Which is something that people have to understand if they're looking to get into commercial real estate photography. It's not residential. Expect to be paid within a few days, within a week. You're dealing with accounting departments, payroll systems, getting W-9s in, getting approved as a vendor. You need obviously insurance to get into these buildings, but I'm assuming most everyone has insurance. To get into almost every building, you need to provide a certificate of insurance. And then once you invoice, it's not uncommon for it to be 30, 45 days, even 60 days before you get the payments. So, you know, as long as you're comfortable shooting a job and waiting a month or two for it, then by all means.
Yeah. And what about equipment? What about you're coming into this? I know personally, I throw a whole bunch more crap in my car when I'm going to shoot something like this because spaces are big. One good thing, though, is a lot of times I just go full ambient. If the space is so big, it's just, and also the lighting can be very good in these locations. But what are you bringing with you? Do you bring the kitchen sink?
Yeah, so when I'm shooting commercial real estate in New York City, cars are not really an option. Pandemic aside, because I've always taken the train into New York City. We've spoken about that a few times. But once all this started happening, I've been driving to the city and spending a fortune on garages. But up until around now, I have a shoot on Friday. I'm going to be taking a train in. Excuse me. Up until around now, I've been a little too nervous to take the train. So the last month, if I've coming in and I've, if I'm doing a shoot within a 15, 20 minute walk of Penn Station, New York City, which is, you know, the main train station in New York, the way I get into the city, then I'll take a train in. I won't do a shoot for like 9 a.m. to avoid the rush hour crowd. I'll do a shoot for 10:30 or 11. So I catch a later train. It's a little bit quieter on the train. I sip it myself in a quarter. It's a 40 minute train ride right into Midtown Manhattan for me, and good to go. So considering the fact that most of the time I'm taking a train in, I pack very light. I don't use flash on any of my commercial real estate shoots. Everything is completely ambient. Main reason is most of these places have complete or close to it floor to ceiling windows, and these agents and these building owners want to show that off. That's a big draw. You know, if you have a floor to ceiling window and have all this natural light coming in from the east or the west, whichever direction you're facing, they want to show it off, and they don't want you to kind of overpower the natural light in the place with flash. That being said, most, like you said, most other spaces are also quite big. I mean, it's very, very rare that I'll come in and shoot a 1,000 square foot office space in New York City. I don't even know if those exist. So, you know, majority of the time I'm coming in and, you know, I'm shooting on average a 10 to 15,000 square foot space, which sounds like a lot, but when you're talking about a big white box space, it's not that big. And you know, if I put a flash up, even if I put on my 600 explorers up, it's not doing anything. You know, it's going to reach 15 feet in front of me, but what about 50 feet down there at the other end of the floor? So that being said, I shoot all ambient, and most of my commercial real estate stuff is just a bracket. And I've been using Infuse. That's the one part of my workflow that it hasn't changed since I started. You know, when I started, I was shooting all Infuse. And then I stopped doing that for residential, and I shoot, you know, some combination of Flambient now. But with the commercial real estate stuff, it's a three image bracket, two stops apart each. Mm-hmm. Go in, bring it all into Infuse, and process the whole thing, you know, using Infuse. I have, you know, a little Infuse preset that I put on, and I'm good to go.
Webinar. We need a new webinar.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Well, I said, you know, we need to do it, and it's going to happen. I just couldn't commit to it with the whole Rolex thing going on. But now
first thing next year we can do.
Now that's over. Yeah, we'll look into after the holidays, maybe January, February time we'll do. And I'll make sure to include a nice, I'm looking at it now. I have a whole folder on my desktop called Infuse Webinar with images on it. So I've already pulled a ton of images. It's going to happen. And I have a nice collection of both residential and commercial images that we can show and do it that way. So
now, which one do you use? Because I know there's Infuse GUI, Infuse plugin for Lightroom.
Yeah, I use the plugin for Lightroom. So everything happens directly in Lightroom.
Really fast too, isn't it? It's like 2 seconds or 3 seconds to render.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on the speed of your computer, but... and it got much quicker when I got my new computer, but yeah, it's pretty quick, but you can batch. So if I do a shoot where I'm shooting, I don't know, let's say 20, which is kind of usually where I start, on a commercial real estate package, I usually start about 20 to 25 images. I can set it all up beforehand and just do a batch Infuse of all 25 images, come back 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, and it's all done, ready for me to go, and just start editing the Infuse shots, throw my little preset on and very little tweaking.
And how long are you doing on a shoot? I mean, I know it's impossible to say that, but.
It depends. It depends on the size of the, and I've shot anywhere from 2000 square foot commercial office to I think 85,000 is the biggest office space I've shot as one office. So, you know, look, a 2000 square foot office space, I'll be in and out in 15-20 minutes. And the best part about commercial real estate photography, 95% of the time, is no one's ever on site with me. You know, they usually say, we put your name at the security at the lobby, just tell them you're there, give them your ID, and they'll bring you right up. No one's there ever. Very rarely is someone there. The only time people usually show up is occasionally an agent will meet me there and say, I haven't even seen the space yet either. I'll meet you there so I can check out the space. That happens occasionally. My agents are never, ever on the shoot though, unless that happens. If anything, somebody from the building or the building management is there to meet me, and they don't know the difference anyway, so they don't care if I'm the quicker I'm in and out, the better for them. So if I can be in and out in 15-20 minutes, they're like, oh great, I can go back up to my office. But look, if I'm shooting an 85,000 square foot space, you know, I'm going to be there 2 hours or so, give or take. But you're much quicker on site when you're not using flash. I mean, if I can set up compose, you know, that takes me a couple minutes and just fire off on CamRanger. I use CamRanger's I think it's called the HDR feature, but it's CamRanger's bracket feature.
As long as you're not Sony.
Exactly. it's quick. You know, yeah. I get my exposure, set my composition, get my exposure, pull up my iPad, just hit that auto bracket. I set it for 3 shots, 2 stops apart. Boom, I'm done. Move on to the next one. So it's pretty quick. What I like to do with commercial real estate, which if people are going to get into it, which is a good piece of advice, is use a gray card. I always take a shot of the gray card before I do my bracket. And the reason is, especially in New York, when you have floor to ceiling windows, most of my agents always want the lights on. I've never shot a commercial real estate with the lights off to this day yet. And the reason is because they say in residential real estate, shut the lights off, because in the middle of the day, most people don't have the lights on in the house. But, you know, in commercial real estate, commercial office space or retail or whatever your commercial space is, the lights are always on all the time. Whenever someone's in the office, someone walks into the office, the lights go on. No one works in the dark. So they want to show the spaces with the lights on. And as we all know, that introduces a whole myriad of color cast issues. So I typically will shoot a shot with a gray card, a little gray card I have that has, you know, white, black, and gray on it. So I can choose the color picker after. Then I'll get my bracket and move on to the next shot. And that, you know, it's never perfect, but it does go a long way in helping me get the proper white balance after the fact. And then if I come in after I run it through Infuse and it's still a little bit yellow, I can go in and tweak it accordingly, however you need to. And look, you know, getting the rates that we're getting for commercial real estate, I don't mind if it takes me longer to edit these. You know, it's not like residential where if you're spending more than an hour and a half editing these, you're losing money. You know, we're getting good rates. If it takes me 3-4 hours to put this together and edit this, that's okay. You know, I'm getting compensated on the back end for that.
And the turnaround is much longer. I usually deliver within maybe a week or two with the commercial shoot. So sure. That's always nice feeling.
Yeah, I mean, look, the truth of the matter is when you're doing an Infuse workflow, it's quick anyway. It doesn't take a long time. So I can deliver in 2 to 3 days, which is not next day like residential, but I typically deliver in 2 to 3 days. If I'm doing a commercial space, that's not real estate, just, you know, like I shot a new apartment development last week for the company that manages it, but it wasn't for real estate. It was for their brochures and stuff that it took me about a week and a half to deliver everything. So it's a little bit different. So you're going to go find some commercial real estate clients?
You know, I've got a few that call me, and it's a lot of it is it's referral, and that could be a referral from a residential realtor that is working with somebody who's a commercial realtor and needs some photography work. So, you know, it's it comes in strange ways.
Sure.
And it comes in spurts.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, you know, the truth is I wish I had a better approach for people to how to go get these clients. Cause for me, it was, as I said, it was all luck. And, you know, I know some people say there's no such thing as luck.
Not true.
But there's a lot of luck involved. But I think it was Scott Hargis at the conference last year who said, while there's luck, there's also a lot of it's luck, but you have to make sure that you're set yourself, you and your business up in a situation so when that luck comes, you're ready to handle it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's luck. But look, if you, I don't know how it is in other states. You can tell me if it's the same by you, Rich. But if you drive down the street in any city and there's a retail store for rent or office space for rent, there's a sign out front that says for rent or space available, contact so-and-so. So you know who the agent is there. You call up that agent, you say, I'm a real estate photographer looking to get into the commercial space, you know, and you know, I've said this before, I'm an advocate. If you need stuff for your portfolio, shooting for free. That's how I got started. That's how I was able to get things in my portfolio. Some people say never do it, but if you don't have any commercial real estate in your portfolio, you need to get it somehow. And if you don't have anything in your portfolio, there's a high probability no one's going to hire you to do it. So you call them up.
Absolutely.
You call them up and you say, I'm a residential guy looking to get into commercial space. You know, I don't know what your photography is like, but can I come out and shoot the space for you? And, you know, if you like them, then use them by all means. And, you know, if you do that and don't even sell them on your own work, just make that offer. That's it.
Yeah.
And if they like it, they'll call you. It's as simple as that. If you never hear from them again, that means they didn't like your work. So it's pretty straightforward.
One little tip I found is if you're cold calling an agent, a lot of times they're just going to go, oh, I've got my guy, this and that. But you can always add in, hey, listen, I know you probably have your own photographer, but as we all know, sometimes photographers get booked up. So please take my number. So in the event that you need somebody last minute, I'd be very happy to come on and you could, I'm not saying you could say just, I'd shoot one for free, but it's just a different way of looking at things, because I know that you don't want to put down the photos of any agent, even if they're terrible photos, and do, oh, my photos are going to be so much better.
But yeah, you never just say
do,
that.
Yeah, never say that. And what you can do is just, try and let them know that, okay, I know you love your guy, but if ever they're busy, think about me. So that's worked for me many times.
No, for sure. I'm a big advocate of, I guess, the soft sale, if that's what you want to call it, and not the hard sale. Because I think that little soft sell approach that you're talking about in the long run, for the long term, the long game, as Natalia Roberts called it at PFRA, you're in it for the long game. That goes a longer way than trying to get someone's business right now. Just say, hey, I'm here for you if you need me. And if they ever call you and need you, that's it. They got you. You're locked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, great.
Cool. Well, this was fun, and if people have questions about commercial real estate, just shoot me a message, because as I said at the beginning, it's kind of the most overlooked part of real estate photography. And I don't know why. There's a lot more money to be made there. The work is a lot easier. The clients are a lot more of a pleasure to deal with. So go shoot some commercial real estate spaces.
Okay, great. And I want to thank our newest sponsor coming on board, PhotoUp. And they're really excited to be with Shooting Spaces. And so who doesn't like free editing? I don't know. Do you not like free editing? I think that's great. So.
Yeah, I love free anything. Forget editing.
PhotoUp is now offering $100 of free editing to Shooting Spaces listeners. You can choose to work with their team of trained editors, starting at just $1 per image, or choose to work directly with an editor to have them learn your specific style. And that's what we usually do. And if you don't need editing help, PhotoUp also provides virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, and website design and development services. They pretty much do everything. So PhotoUp even offers specialized virtual assistance starting at $7 an hour. It's perfect if you're looking to add an assistant to help with your administration and marketing tasks and don't know where to go. So head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link in the Shooting Spaces website to redeem your free $100 credit. That's photoup.net/shootingspaces. Okay, so check them out.
They're like Walmart. They just sell everything for the real estate photography industry.
I got to tell you, next year I'm going to probably start looking. I'm not even sure I'm going to outsource, but I'm going to start looking at some other opportunities to make my life easier, even possibly invoicing situations and things like that. But if you're, you've got a thriving business and you need help, kind of like Nima Mohammadi, he's like, should I hire an assistant? Well, this is an opportunity to, I'm sure it's going to be a little different for, a remote assistant, but I think it's a really interesting idea. It's kind of like renting out your office, your space. So check it out.
Speaking of Nima, he sent over an awesome Ask the Guys question, and we brought on a guest to answer it. So we can't wait to release that one in the next couple of weeks for you guys. It's going to be a fun one too.
And hey, what about that PFRE conference?
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
I had a great time last couple of weeks ago, and it really is educational. I think Brandon Cooper did a great job because of having to do it virtually, and I found it out that it was much, much more work for him, and it was a lot of work for me. I did two presentations. And it was a lot of work for me to put that together, but I loved doing it. And I think people really enjoyed the speakers. We had so many great speakers.
Yeah, it was
next
fun.
Next year, you got to do it. Next year, do something for PFRE.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I didn't get to watch the entire thing live. So now I'm catching up on all the things that I missed live. But yeah, there's just a ton of great info out there. And it's exciting. The one I'm actually in the middle of right now, I don't know where it went, was about raising your prices and not losing your clients. So that's a pretty interesting lecture. But yeah, it was fun. Brandon did an excellent job as always. And I don't know how he pulled it off because it was two nonstop days. So Brandon, I hope you've been sleeping well since then because you deserve it. So
I'm ready for Vegas again, man. I want to go back to Vegas because there's no comparison. I had a lot more fun last year.
I hope so. I hope, what is it, November next year to be in Vegas again. Knock on wood. I'm going to be in Vegas the last week of October next year for my brother's wedding. It's happening in Vegas. So I might be in Vegas twice within 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm going to need the winter to recover from that.
Well, listen, let's all hope that 2021 is better than 2020, because if in March, if you had told me we'd be still dealing with what we're dealing with in December, I would have said, I thought it was going to be longer, like June or July, but I had no idea. And let's just cross our fingers and pray that we're all going to be good. But at least we know that houses are still selling, stuff's selling. And you just got to morph. You got to work with it and get into it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, it can only go uphill from here.
No, don't. No, anyway.
Don't say.
You know what? And I don't want to go into politics, but it's been a very interesting year to say the least. And I'm still alive and happy and great. And listen, I just want to wish everybody a just wonderful holiday season and so much luck in your business. And, you know, reach out to us and do an Ask the Guys. We don't get enough Ask the Guys. So
yeah, let's get some of those in for sure. We need them. That's how we get some content. Yeah.
We're going to have a top professional in the field answering our next one. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. Amazing stuff. And we have, like we said, a ton of good guests coming up. It's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. We've got some good things in store for Shooting Spaces in 2021. So there's a lot of good things coming out and, you know, we're excited. It's going to be a much better year. Let's put it that way. 2021.
What did you buy for Black Friday? One thing you bought.
You ready for this one?
I asked you. I might as well be ready.
I bought a...
No, I don't really care. I'm not ready. I don't. Okay, I'm ready. Okay.
I bought a 30-minute helicopter ride, doors off, around New York City with my good friend Vince Calora. We're going to take a helicopter ride together around New York City.
What could go wrong there? Oh, my God.
Pictures. So
that... Was it a good deal?
It was a good deal. It was, I think, $160. For a 30-minute doors off helicopter ride around New York City. Our good buddy Vince bought it, and we're gonna, you know, Vince and I live like 10 minutes from each other.
Yeah. Did you confirm that you can use it for photography?
That's what it's for.
That's
what it's for. They take you up on photo trips.
Yeah.
Awesome. So like I said, Vince lives about 10 minutes from me. So we'll carpool to New Jersey and, take this helicopter right around New York City. It's going to be fun. We'll have to schedule it soon before it gets too cold. Vince, if you're listening, call me. Let's get it scheduled.
And my thing, I haven't gotten it yet, but it was so cool, is it's this little thing. It's smaller than a mouse, about a tenth the size of a mouse. And you put it against a wall, and it reads the color, and it goes into, you can transfer it to your phone.
Oh, yeah.
And it attaches an sRGB code to it. So for design
hex code,
photography,
yeah,
whatever it is, I'm going to learn. Zunker.
Yeah, she's been pushing that for like months now. She's all over that.
And I'm going to get it because so many times I'm shooting something and I'm going, wow, I better make a mental note of this. So I'm really hoping that it's going to be as good as it seems.
Yeah, no, I saw it. It used to pop up. It was
$74, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It used to pop up in my Instagram ads all the time and I kind of just ignored them. And then I saw D talking about it and you let me know how it is. If it works well, then I'll look into it. You can be my guinea pig.
I want to go on the helicopter. I want to go helicopter ride. Okay.
Come to New York. We got a spot for you. Helicopter fits four. So it's just as a, you know, Vince, I, the pilot, and Rich. It'll be a fun day.
I, the pilot.
Exactly.
Well, you get to fly it too? Oh, man. I want to go.
No, I'm not flying it. Though the last helicopter ride I took was with our good friend Dan Milstein.
Right.
So I drove up to Connecticut and met him there. And we chartered a helicopter. We were up for about an hour and a half around New York City during sunset shooting. And, you know, Dan's making his Dan Milstein jokes in my headset for an hour and a half. Fun time.
Oh, I never get enough of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for allowing me to interview you. I don't get to do that that often.
Sure.
And maybe we'll turn it around on something that I can talk to you about. But I just want to say thank you all. If you please subscribe to Shooting Spaces, check out shootingspacespodcast.net. I'm sorry, shootingspaces.net. For our, we have all our presets and educational material and all some really great stuff there. And we have some new merchandise. We're going to have some really fun stuff coming up where you can buy Shooting Spaces merchandise. So go check that out. And most of all, just go out there and go shoot some wonderful spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com. And visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.